Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to our Sunday service this morning on such a beautiful summer's day. And a welcome especially to our friends from Lyme Kilns and any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Welcome to those watching online too. We will be led in worship today by Alistair and maybe Marion, I think, and our musician is Carol Madden. And please do stay afterwards for strawberries and ice cream, tea, coffee and chat. And oh no, tea, coffee, sorry. Strawberries and ice cream. That's probably enough to be going on with. I'll be here all afternoon. And Elaine's put some seats out in the garden, so if you want to go outside and enjoy the sun, please do. The printed Cairnhill intimations are in your hands, and for those watching online, it can be obtained from our website and Facebook page. There is a printed sheet for Lyme Kilns Church. Please do read everything through. Please note there are some dates mentioned for events through July and August, as the intimations will take a break for the summer after next week. So I think that's all. I think I just wanted to note that at Cairnhill Gala, we weren't here last week, I think it was an amazing total of £290 was raised at a chocolate stall. So the Henrys are just catching up, obviously, but that was amazing. And not to forget Cairnhill Kirk Session meets this Wednesday, the 24th at 7 o'clock in the Mats. Thank you.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Almighty God, may your word of old speak afresh today, bringing new vision, new faith, and new commitment. Speak now and help us to listen. In the name of Christ. Amen. Begin our service by singing the first hymn, which is hymn 154. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder.
I see the stars. Morning. I invite you to join me in our prayers of thanks and confession. The prayer I've chosen this morning from the Church of Scotland website under their worship, monthly worship section. So let us pray. Hospitable God, you enfold us. Compassionate Jesus, you uphold us. Advocating Spirit, you are the wind at our backs, Trinity of love. Because of you, the universe exists in all its unfathomable depths, in all its meticulous detail. What an astonishing thing to do. What a marvellous labour of love. Thank you for giving us a place in your creation, for making each one of us an unrepeatable wonder and setting us on this earth in this time. When we recognise your presence, life is better. When we call on your help and spend time with you, life is better. When you break in our consciousness with your timely, gentle, surprising, funny, startling ways of saying hello, life is better. Thank you, God, for always coming to meet us where we are, at our best, at our worst, in our orderliness, in crisis. You welcome us and offer help and healing. So will you silence any fears that we don't deserve your love? Now, in a few moments of silence, we would reveal to you our sins and ask you take away any guilt from those mistakes we have made. Bring us close to you. Cheer us up and cheer us on. In Jesus' name we pray. And now, let us all join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is hymn 259, Beauty for Brokenness.
Suffering, this is our prayer. Lovely to see you all this morning. Wonder how many of you came for the strawberries and ice cream. Too bad if you just came for tea and coffee. Just by way of interest information, yesterday Rob and Rosemary and Elaine from Limekilns, not Elaine from Cairnelka, she's over there, and myself were at Presbytery yesterday in Glenrothes, and along with Norman and Karen, and it was marking the retirement of ministers. So Elaine gave tribute to Roman, and I gave a few choice words. I chose some words to say. I knew I'd get that wrong, and so it was very good, and I'm pleased to know that they have now moved into their new home, so they'll soon be adjusting to their new environment. Printed on a church newsletter, a misprint. Choir concert. Come along next Sunday after the service and listen to the choir singing in the church hall. Probably quite a sight to see as well. Which is one reason why we don't have a choir here, because you have no idea what they might get up to. So let's come to our Q&A session, question and answer. And already I see a few folks squirming in their seats thinking, what's coming now? But I'll ask the questions. You can think about the answers. Why did Peter Murrell embezzle over £400,000 from the SNP? Why did three teenagers murder Caden Moy on Irvine Beach? Why did you, that's a collective you, all of you, me, why did you think, say, or do something you shouldn't have never have done an hour ago, a month ago, 10 years ago, whenever? Now, I'm not wanting to rake up your past, but the worst thing you ever thought, said, or done, why? Now, some of these situations, maybe there's a quick answer and response, like Peter Murwell greed. The three teenagers, they'll have no idea what was going through their minds. But all these situations and any others we can come up with, there's one common cause, and that's that wee word called sin. S-I-N, three letters, very small word, but huge implications. There's a town in Poland called Oświęcim. You might not have heard of it, but you might be more familiar with the name given to it and the facility which was built by the Germans in World War II, which is concentration lager Auschwitz. And there 1 million Jews, or 1 million Jewish people, human beings, men, women, children, babies, were systematically slaughtered on an industrial scale, plus many more. And throughout all the death camps, many people from other nationalities. What's the difference between the instigators and the perpetrators of Hitler's final solution and a wee boy who pinches some sweets out the corner shop? What's the difference between that wee boy and a rapist, a murderer, a paedophile? Now, in both situations, you're going to say, well, huge difference. It's interesting how some newspapers sensationalise their headlines or the reporting, particularly when it comes to the likes of rapists and paedophiles and murderers. They call them beasts or monsters. But in actual fact, they're human beings made in God's image, the same as we are. Now, that's not to condone anything done, far, far from it. But it's a reminder that each one of us has fallen short. In God's sight, all sin is sin. And it shows the potential for sin in each one of us as human beings. It can go beyond the depths of depravity, beyond anything we could ever imagine. But that potential is there. Because the danger is we shouldn't be trying to compare our sin with others. You were like the Pharisee and the tax collector. Oh Lord, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. But we said, I'm not a bigger sinner as he is over there. It's interesting now, when we break the rules, how we can become comfortable with them. We can rationalise our sin and temptation. And that's probably what happened to Peter Murrell. He claimed for one thing, called it someone else and pocketed the cash. I got away with that. And did it again, got away with that. So a wee bit more and a wee bit more and a big bit more and a big bit more, and it just goes completely out of control. Of course, we're not without hope. But Jesus died on the sins, on the cross for our sins. And the Reformers talked about the great exchange on the cross, that Jesus took our sinfulness, took our sins, and we take his righteousness, so that God now sees us through Christ. Not our righteousness, but he sees us through Christ's righteousness. And that's our hope. But of course, we still live in the real world, and there's always the world, the flesh, and the devil coming against us. But is this the hope we have in Jesus? Loved by God, we are more than conquerors. We can overcome that sin and temptation, maybe not in our own strength, but with God's strength. Give thanks for Jesus, what he has done for you. It's free on that cross, what he's done to set you free. And as a child of God, remember that there's nothing can separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus.
Doesn't like me. It's me. Our readings this morning will be taken by Claire.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 86, verses 1 to 10, and then 16 to 17, and it's called, You Alone Are God. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Our second reading is from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11, and the title is Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Our next hymn is hymn 556, I Need Thee Every Hour.
There was a man sitting one afternoon. He was sitting his feet up, mug of coffee, a book in his hand. Everything was nice and peaceful. Now that his cat brings in a wee gift. Now if any of you have cats or have had a cat, you know they like to bring you a wee present now and again. Might be a mouse or a bird. Dead or alive, doesn't really matter to them. Not very good for the mouse or the bird if they're dead. Not very good for you if they're alive, because if you try to catch a mouse or a bird flying about your sitting room, it's easy. Anyway, the cat brought in a present, but it wasn't a mouse or a bird, it was a rabbit. It was a big cat, but it was just a wee bunny rabbit, but it was dead. No. And it looked a bit close, and oh, goodness me, that looks like bunny's... Bonnie's bunny. Now, Bonnie was a wee lassie who lived next door. She was a bonny lassie too, but That's what she's called, Bonnie. But Bonnie had a bunny. So I had devised a plan. So I extricated this dead rabbit from the cat's mouth. Yeah, that's, thank you, that's lovely. And I took it through to the kitchen sink and got some shampoo. Started giving it a good clean. Then he got a hair dryer. A hair dryer. Who makes this stuff up? So I got a hair dryer and got it nice and dry, looking really good. Now I knew there wasn't anybody next door and I couldn't see anybody about, so takes the rabbit and goes, scrambles over the fence, put it back in the rabbit hutch, shuts the door, back inside. Thank goodness for that. And if they come out and find the dead rabbit, well, it must have died in its sleep or something. It's nothing to do with me. So next morning he gets up and he hears a bit of a commotion outside and he looks out the back window and hears neighbours and folk about and they're all talking and pointing. And so he goes over, just that normal, saunter over, and his neighbour's there. This is absolutely amazing. You'll not believe what's happened. You see, Bonnie's bunny died yesterday morning. We buried the little bunny down the bottom of the garden. Yes, it might have been better to admit it in the first place. And sometimes it just makes matters worse, and when we do get found out, we look rather foolish. However, there's good news. We've tried to cover up our sins. There's good news because Jesus died that we might be forgiven. And in him, our sins are forgiven. In him, God has put us right with him. So we do not have to be ruled by the power of sin. In the previous three chapters in Romans there, Paul explains how God has redeemed us through faith and justifies us, putting us right with him. So Paul now goes on to explain how we are sanctified, the process by which we as believers grow to maturity in Christ. So chapter 6 could be entitled Freedom from Sin's Tyranny. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Well, there were those who took that viewpoint, thought to themselves, well, the law doesn't save us, we're saved by grace, so abandon all moral responsibility. We'll just receive more grace. Does that mean that we as Christians have an insurance policy to lead sinful lives? Maybe the old life we had in the past? Well, of course not. It's an absurd idea. Maybe some do take that point of view. But consider all that God has, in his love, has done for us, forgiven our sins, cancelled our guilt. It's all by grace. And certainly not a reward for our efforts to live a good life. Simply the boundless mercy of God. It's hard work trying to be perfect. Well, I'm kind of almost there, you know. Not quite. And some think, well, is there really any point in striving to be, you know, to do what is just, what is right? You know, we're saved anyway. But Christian freedom is not freedom to do just what we want. It's freedom to serve God as morally responsible people. Freedom to serve in the secure knowledge that forgiveness is readily available when we sin. That's when, not if. We are put right with God, but we're not made right. We're not made sinless and perfect. However, we can put sin to death. And Paul connects that with baptism. In New Testament times, in Acts, for example, baptism is so closely followed, or it follows conversion, that the two are considered part of the same thing. Baptism associated with belief, acceptance of the word, and repentance. And repentance was important too in the teaching of John the Baptist and of Jesus. Note that baptism produces forgiveness. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward work of grace. So rather, forgiveness comes through the grace which is symbolised by baptism. So though baptism is not a means by which we enter into a vital faith relationship with Jesus, it is closely associated with faith. Baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Faith in Jesus does. So while adult or believer's baptism is the context here, faith is still required. And with child or infant baptism, the church's prayer is that he or she will make a profession of faith later on. That's if they come back. Think how many have been baptised in the Church of Scotland alone, and go back over the past 70 years, back to probably 1950s was a kind of peak of membership in the Church of Scotland. But think how many parents came to get their wane done, which I don't know, if that's just a West of Scotland expression for having your child christened. But seen in a notice board in a church in Greenock, it said, if the last time you were in church, a big man called your names and threw water over you, it's time to try again. As members of the Church of Scotland, I'm sure the majority of us were probably baptised as infants by a big man, or to show I've been on the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion training course, a big woman sprinkling or pouring water over us. And others, possibly including within the Church of Scotland Bay, have been baptised by immersion. And certainly that going down into the water and coming up again certainly depicts quite graphically what happens as a result of our union with Christ. We die with Christ and are raised again with Christ, raised to a new quality of life here and now. So there's a complete break between the old life and the new, as if we'd actually died and been reborn. We were dead to God before, now we are alive to him. It's resurrection in the sense of a new birth. And the result of that new birth is that we as believers can experience a new life of faith in which it is Christ rather than sin who reigns. The old self has been rendered powerless so that it can no longer enslave us to sin, whatever lingering power it may yet have. It is in the knowledge of our freedom from sin's shackles and ruling power that Charles Spurgeon asks, Christian, what have you to do with sin? Has it not cost you enough already? It is contrary to the designs of eternal love, which all have an eye to your purity and holiness. Therefore, do not run contrary to the purposes of your Lord. And he goes on, Christians can never sin cheaply. They pay a heavy price for iniquity. There is a higher argument. Each time you serve sin, you have crucified the Lord afresh and put him to an open shame. I'm not going to list all possible sins, which would be an impossibility. But whether it is intentional or unintentional, we don't need to be enslaved by it. We are no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of Christ. His power, which has conquered sin, is available to help us to defeat temptation. So how do we do that? The first step to victory over sin in your life is, as Paul says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's a call to become, to experience what you already are in your position as a Christian. Dead to sin, but alive to God. Through faith, you are united with Christ. By faith, you are to live in the light of the truth that you do not have to let sin rule over you. Paul has essentially set out two principal alternatives for our human existence. Slaves of sin or slaves of Christ, slaves of righteousness. It indicates that we as individual believers can in effect transfer from one to the other. And that of course can work both ways. But can that transfer be total? It's one of those yes and no answers. We live in that tension between the now and the not yet. Paul is saying that something has happened already. Our old self is crucified with Christ. But so long as life lasts within these bodies of ours, with all our weaknesses and changes in our lives, lives which are quickly passing, then the outworking of that act of God is not yet complete. Sin, and of course death, exert an influence from which we cannot escape. We are still subject to them, and we cannot avoid physical death. But we must continue to resist sin in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Charles Handy, British economist and management consultant, said, "The two classes of people who are my particular friends in the Gospels are the crooks and the crocks. Our weakness and our sinfulness are our greatest claims on the mercy of God." Our other reading this morning in the Psalms, a Psalm of David. The King David knew all about sin and its consequences. He was a murderer and adulterer. He wanted Bathsheba, and he arranged for her husband Uriah to be killed so that he could have her. Now, just to encourage us, God describes David as a man after his own heart. Think, what? Psalm 86 is a prayer for help in times of distress. It combines a strong sense of confidence in the Lord with a sense of urgency over the seriousness of the situation. And because he knows God, all his love, his goodness and his power, David can be confident in putting his case, trusting God for an answer. And it's a wonderful encouragement to pray remembering who God is. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Remembering what God does, you are great and do marvelous deeds. Remembering what God promises, when I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. When you pray, keep these encouraging words before you. Think about God's character. Remember what he has done in your life. Recount his faithfulness to you and be sure to claim his promises to you in the Bible. Louis the Great had ruled France from mid-17th to early 18th century. He ruled with absolute power and incredible splendor. And his funeral was held in a magnificent cathedral lit by a single candle alongside the ornate coffin. When it was time for Jean-Baptiste Massillon, do you like my French accent? It's kind of muted. I don't know who Jean-Baptiste Massillon was, but when he came to speak, he reached out and extinguished the flame and said, "Only God is great." We recognise and admire some of our fellow mortals who are considered to be great thinkers, great scientists, great inventors, great achievers. There are those, of course, who think of themselves as being great. Think of Elon Musk, the world's first trillionaire. But he, like all the others and all of us, are only human. For only God is truly great, great enough to meet all our needs, great enough to forgive all our sins and to carry us through the dark valley of death to be with him forever. The world tends to promote or condone as normal what we would see as sinful. Sin that wee three-letter word, which many today find rather quaint and outdated. And despite the world's distorted values, sin is destructive. As in Paul's day, I'm sure there are plenty who would endorse the view, well, if sin results in grace, then the more sin, the better. That makes a mockery of God's freely given love. As Christian believers, sin remains a reality and still has a foothold on us. Its wiles and enticements must be resisted to the end. And so, recognising that we are still not yet set free from the temptation to sin, remember that Christ has already won the victory. He is the basis, he is the source of our strength to resist and overcome. As we make that initial commitment to follow Jesus, and he helps us to do that as we make our commitment new each and every day. As a Christian, your position, your status or your standing is that you are indeed dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Practically, you're to make that a reality in your daily life. In other words, become what you already are in Christ.
Our next hymn is hymn 485. Dear Lord and Father of mankind.
For Let's join together in our prayers for the world, others, friends and family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our prayer for all places of conflict in your world. May your Holy Spirit move in the hearts and minds of leaders, guiding them away from force and towards peace. We pray especially for the people of Lebanon as the Israeli army continues its bombardment and pursuit of Hezbollah. God of hope, in your love, we pray that Israel's leaders will agree to a ceasefire and bring much needed hope to the people of Palestine, Lebanon, and Israel. May their leaders negotiate an agreement that allows these nations to live together in lasting peace. Father, we pray that negotiations between the United States of America and Iran will lead to a resolution that ends this war and prevents further needless loss of innocent lives in Iran. May peace also restore safe passage through the Straits of Hormuz and help stabilize the world economy. Heavenly Father, we again pray for the innocent civilians of Ukraine and Russia who continue to live with a now fear of drone attacks and the grief of losing family and friends in the fifth year of this unjust war. We pray that Russia's leader, Vladimir Putin, will recognize that he cannot defeat the Ukrainian nation and will bring an end to this war. We pray for the innocent people of Sudan who continue to suffer because of another internal war between the Sudanese armed forces and the opposing government of peace and unity. This country has endured internal conflict since its independence in 1953. We pray that Sudan's leaders will lay down their arms and seek a peaceful way to decide how their country will be governed. Forgiving God, please forgive us for being the cause of climate change due to our growth over many years of the use of certain minerals or certain manufacturing processes, which have damaged the beautiful world you have made for us. We pray that the world's leaders must continue to halt the Earth's rise in temperature by making decisions now to stop the use of fossil fuels and these manufacturing processes, and thus hopefully reduce and halt the occurrences of the extreme destructive climatic conditions. We also pray for our current national government as they resolve their political issues so that they may focus on the needs of our country, as so many are suffering from the rising cost of living. So much so that some folk don't have enough money to buy food. Also, do something with long queues of people waiting for operations by the National Health and the rise of homelessness and the many other issues to be resolved. We pray for your help in making the correct decisions required and the changes we face in the Church of Scotland and locally in our church as we join in a union with Limekilns and Cúras an Toribon. We give you thanks for our now retired Minister Norman, who answered your call to him to serve you, and as a result, Cairnhill Church and Limekilns Church for the past 35 years. We would pray that once the union is set up, you again call a person to serve our new St. Mungo's Church. And now, in a few moments of silence, we would pray from our hearts for our family and friends who need your help. They may be suffering loss of dear ones. They may be in hospital ill. They may be suffering hurt for other reasons. Be and give them comfort and love at this time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us today and listening to our prayers. Amen.
Our final hymn is hymn 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. Worship is over, but our service continues. Help us to offer it faithfully every moment of every day to the glory of your name. Amen.